on this episode of the Ben Greenfield Fitness Podcast.
So what you want to do is you want to grow them beforehand before you consume them. So you're actually consuming a life organism rather than taking a dead organism and hope it turns into life in your body. It basically creates a harmonic bubble. So it harmonizes all the frequencies that come into that bubble.
So you're basically using quantum physics to slow down time in the cell.
Health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and much more. My name is Ben Greenfield. Welcome to the show.
Well, today's show is going to be an interesting one. Someone randomly reached out to me, wanted to remain completely anonymous, proceeded to absolutely blow my mind with some of the things that they were emailing me about as far as emerging biohacking technologies that I was surprised I'd never heard of as a guy who's kind of immersed in this whole world. So I thought, well, what the heck? I'm okay with keeping them anonymous if they'll agree to come on my show and talk about this stuff, because occasionally, you know, I'll get somebody on who might not be some, you know, triple board certified physician, but who instead is just kind of been immersed in this stuff and knows a lot about it. So prepare to dive down some deep, dark rabbit holes of biohacking on today's show. Strap on your scientific tinfoil hats, because this one's going to get crazy. Hey folks, it's Ben Greenfield, and as promised, I have a super secret mystery guest on the show with me, and if it sounds like we're actually chatting at a coffee shop, it's because half of us are. I'm actually at a coffee shop right now, recording this particular episode for you on January 1st. I actually haven't had internet at my own house for about 2 weeks now, and I've been slipping away to the local library to record episodes for you, but of course, today being January 1st, the library is closed, and so you guys are getting probably a little bit of Starbucks holiday music in the background, maybe some espresso grinders. So just imagine that you're hanging out at the coffee shop with me and with my guest, who I've given the option to not actually give his name if he'd like to remain anonymous. But as you learned in the introduction to this show, he emailed me some really interesting biohacks and so, you know, some kind of advanced health and technology tools that I was surprisingly unfamiliar with, considering how, you know, immersed I consider myself to be with a lot of this stuff. So I thought, well, I should get this dude on the show and we should chat about some of this stuff for you guys. So that being said, I should ask my guest, do you want me to use your name, man, or do you want me to just kind of refer to you as the dude?
Just stick with Mark and we're good.
All right. Well, we'll just call you Mark. So which is your actual name, right, Mark?
That is correct. Yeah,
okay, cool. Because yeah, for those of you listening in, like, this is literally the first time Mark and I have chatted aside from going back and forth quite a bit on email, planning on having a little chat about this stuff. So,
well, if you're like me, you live a busy life. You don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong is one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com. Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You gotta check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. That'll give you 20% off your first order.
So here we go into our coffee shop style chat. So Mark, lay down your background for me and how you kind of got interested in all this stuff in the first place.
Well, my background is actually banking. So I started out in finance, project finance, did a lot of renewable energy stuff from solar power, wind power, and then went into due diligence processes for these investments. And I kind of like developed an eye for what's wrong with certain investments. Okay, so I've read into solar power, wind power, and that the economics are, they look good on paper, they look good financially, but on a global impact perspective, if you just don't look at it from a from a macroeconomic standpoint, it's not really that viable compared to other technologies out there. It just sounds good. So I confronted some of my, business partners, investors with it. And I was like, look, are we in here to make money, or is it really just like, which is fine, from a money perspective, it all works out, but are we looking for social and social economic impact here? Because this is really, not the best option of doing it, not the best way to apply your money to get the highest form of leverage. And from then on, they were, listened to me, and they were like, okay, well, let me hear your case. They heard my case. They understood pretty much. They were like, okay, well, this is more than we expected. So we're just going to drop that. And from there on, I was pretty much passed around because of my analytical background to do all kinds of like very alternative investment analysis.
Primarily doing due diligence on these companies.
No, not necessarily companies, but general undertakings.
Okay.
Right. So, I'm not talking about a specific solar company or a specific wind company. I'm talking about the, the big spectrum of it. And then later down the line, I developed something called, you know, that I call applied meta strategies, which basically means I just look at every aspect of certain things and try to incorporate, you know, a global view on it, right? I don't isolate my view on anything that I do, or when I do research, I cannot isolate it into specific factors, right? And then, you know, in my early 20s, I started a hedge fund that went pretty well, and, you know, got a minor kidney disease as well, which is supposedly incurable, which kept me really, really interested in, you know, longevity, put my head into it. Obviously, knowing a lot of people with decent amount of stash, you know, cash, I got passed around and got to know very, 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 very interesting scientists, research and development people, and then analyzed those and made, I don't want to say decisions necessarily, but figured out if it's worthwhile investing into those situations. And yeah, that's how it all came about. Yeah, all from a money angle.
Where are you from originally? That's not an English accent.
No, originally I'm from Europe, so German.
Okay.
And then just been bouncing around the globe, you know, okay, ever since.
Got it. And tell me about this this kidney issue that led you to get a little bit more interested in the health aspects of some of these companies.
Oh, it's called PKD, polycystic kidney disease, which basically it's a protein defect on the PK1 protein. It's like broken. And what it does, it basically creates massive cysts on my kidneys that are filling with blood. And if there's too much tension on the body, they burst and cause renal failure.
Wow. And is that something that's actually controllable? Like, or have you been able to find out ways that allopathic medicine might not use to take care of?
Standard medicine just says, you screwed. It's an incurable hereditary disease. There's nothing you can do about it. You can manage it, you know, by decreasing your blood pressure, you know, all the standard stuff. I found a few scientists in Australia that put me on a ketogenic diet. So that's how that one started, with the ketogenic diet, because it turns out that if you dial down your glucose, the cysts don't grow as quick, right? So they need glucose to grow. So you cut that out. So that's pretty good. And then there is a protein, it's called a Clotho protein. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Clotho basically also helps with that disease. So if you can increase Clotho production, then you're pretty much cool.
Yeah, Clotho protein is actually very interesting. I think it was discovered sometime around the 90s, and it's named after the Greek goddess Clotho. But apparently it has some pretty major effects on longevity and anti-aging, even like with exogenous administration of that protein. But I actually haven't researched that much on whether or not Clotho is available.
Well, you cannot inject it. It's impossible. It's too complex of a protein.
So the injections that they've done with that, was that in rodent models?
I don't know if they did it in rodent models. What I know is one of my guys is like super advanced in this research field, and he says the protein is way too complex. And especially if you inject it, it doesn't really work. And if you like drink it or take it as a supplement, your stomach acid just tears it up. So you don't really have the effect. You might get it into your body, but you're never going to activate it. So you have to look for precursors to activate Clotho production.
What would be some of the precursors?
Well, it's actually probiotics, because Clotho is produced. They found Clotho. There's this weird rat. I'm not sure. It's like a naked rat. I forgot the name of it. There's like a naked rat in the desert.
Oh, I think you're talking about the naked mole rat, probably.
Yeah.
And the one with the really robust, it's got like really robust DNA protection mechanisms because of its ability to repair misfolded proteins.
Yeah. And it just lives like, you know, compared to like normal rats, it just lives like 1,000 years or something like that. You know, if you compare it from human age perspective to animal perspective. And they found out that the only difference in the rodent model and us is actually some of the some probiotics, their gut biome. So just the gut biome. So if you change the gut biome in a correct way, whatever that correct way is, don't ask me because that's just too advanced for me. I can give you I can put you in contact with the guys that are doing it. they have found that when you consume a certain mixture of probiotics, which have been there's a chlorine sulfate in it, which basically enhances the gravitational field inside of the cells to basically create time dilation, which basically allows your DNA in your cells to have more relative time than the normal 24-hour time span, because you're creating an internal gravitational field. Gravitational field increases, time is, from a perspective standpoint of that cell, is reduced. So you basically get like 40 hours of work down into a 24-hour legitimate time cycle. Yeah, does that make sense?
Can you explain that in a little bit more detail, what you mean regarding the time cycles? Because that didn't quite make sense to me.
Okay, so you have 24 hours, right?
Right.
In a day. So your body works on 24-hour time cycle, right? It just works on a 24-hour basis. When you induce higher gravitational field, okay, inside of atoms, and when you actually target those, the atoms that are inside of your DNA, okay, from the perspective of your DNA, it actually looks like that your DNA has now 40 hours of time, okay, rather than just the 24 hours that you see.
Okay.
It's a you change the perspective. From your perspective, you're still doing 24 hours, right? Okay. You're still doing that. But from the perspective of your cell, okay, because it has an increased gravitational field inside, and the electrons basically spin around it faster, okay, they get like 40 hours of work done. Look at it. There's a movie called Interstellar where they were flying into the black hole. Gravitational field increases. They are on some planet for like 10 minutes or something like that, but on planet Earth, like 20 years pass by because they're in a stronger gravitational field. So that's actually scientifically proven that you can induce time dilation. It's an Einstein thing, time dilation in cells. So basically give them, from their perspective, they have lived 2 days, right? They have 2 days to repair themselves rather than, from our perspective, only the 1 day, you know?
Okay. Got it. And what does that have to do with this actual ability to be able to support the microbiome to produce its own clotho proteins?
Because the way I understand it is that when you get a certain microbes in your gut and induce those with it's a sulfate that comes with it. Okay, that increases the time dilation in the cells. So the let's say the effects, the gut microbiome has more time to fix your DNA damage. And that particular field where they're attacking is the clotho production. So it actually allows you to produce more clotho in a 24-hour window than you would normally do, because from the perspective of that clotho protein or the pathway where it's happening, actually 2 days have passed. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. So you eat the microbiome, the gut stuff. It starts the process, and then you induce time dilation, so you get a factor of 2 out of the same amount of time.
And how is the time dilation actually induced upon consumption of this probiotic?
Because in the probiotic, there is, I mean, I can look it up if you want me to, if you just hang on. There is a sulfate that comes with it. And with that sulfate, it increases the gravitational field of that particular that cell that the probiotics are targeting.
Okay, so you're basically using, in a nutshell, you're using quantum physics that are induced by the sulfate that's attached to this probiotic to slow down time in the cell and at the same time increase production of the clotho protein. So you're essentially, I would imagine, affecting methylation to slow down the aging clock and then also getting an increase in clotho protein production.
But basically, what it comes down to is you get 2 times the amount of clotho production in a 24-hour cycle because your body lives 48 hours.
Okay, so one thing I was able to find, because you had sent me over some information on this probiotic, Dr. Marco Ruggiero has a video called "Could the Theory of Relativity Help Us to Solve Aging?" And I believe he presented this at RadFest, which is a really good anti-aging conference. And so I'll link to that in the show notes. By the way, folks, the show notes for today's podcast are going to be at bengreenfieldfitness.com/mark. That's just bengreenfieldfitness.com/M-A-R-K. A-R-C. So you're going to be famous now, Mark. At least your first name is. And one of the problems I ran into, though, when I was researching this same probiotic that Dr. Ruggiero seems to promote.
Which one are we talking about?
Immortalis?
That's one of it, correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was difficult to find out the actual strain being used, the actual probiotic strain. I mean, it makes sense that they would have this sulfate molecule that is delivered along with it, but I could not find any research on the actual strain. It all seemed to be protected on their website.
This is a little... Hold on, let me just go into the portal here. The reason why I didn't name them before is because I don't want to do name dropping on on the stuff, because I don't want anyone thinking that I'm pitching anything. But if you allow me to drop names, then I'd be more than happy to come up with
names as well. that's fine. I mean, I know you're this isn't a pitch fest as much as just an interesting discussion about some of these things I was unfamiliar with.
Yeah, okay. I have to find it. I'll send you the strains over. I definitely have them.
Okay, yeah. If you find them, what I'll do is I'll put them in the show notes. And so this would be a probiotic that you would take on a daily basis to increase clotho protein, which can decelerate aging. And you found, have you actually been using this for your kidney issue as well?
To an extent. I've used something called Bravo and GCMAF.
Okay.
And the clotho, they only started product, I think it's like a year old. Yeah. It's a year old. So they're really, really, really selective of what's being sold and all that stuff. So I personally have not used it. I just know, a lot of people that have used it.
You mean this Immortalis probiotic?
This Immortalis, yeah. Because it's priced at $2,500 a month.
Oh, wow.
Which is, it's a really, really, really big price tag.
Okay.
It's a process, because you cannot take the pill like this. You have to make your own. Like, you take the pill, you break it open, and it's like a 3-day process to actually make. You know,
Holy cow. Do
an olive oil, or you can't just pop the pill, because you need to activate the probiotics so that they multiply by a factor of I don't know how many times. So you have to grow them and then consume them 3 to 4 days later after you've grown them.
Oh wow, that's incredibly interesting, and it sounds like C60 to a certain extent, the Buckminster Fullerene molecule I've done a podcast on, which has some pretty good anti-aging data in rodent models, and that one also needs to be delivered in like an olive oil or a or even like a C8 oil mechanism.
I know about the C60 stuff, but with this one, the reason why you have to put it in olive oil or where you have to put it in yogurt is to actually activate the bacteria, because the bacteria in the pill, they only activate once they're in contact with your, when you swallow them, mm-hmm. and then they start growing. So what you want to do is you want to grow them beforehand before you consume them. So you're actually consuming a life organism rather than taking a dead organism and hope it turns into life in your body.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. For people who may not have $2,500 a month to throw at a probiotic, there are, and I looked into this a little bit, some other ways to activate clotho. There's a little bit of research behind. So first of all, to shut it down, like to suppress clotho, psychological stress and depression, that's big for decreasing clotho protein production, inflammation and oxidative stress. Interestingly, all three things that we see heavily associated with chronic disease also decrease clotho protein production. So psychological stress and depression, inflammation and oxidative stress. And then another one is that would decrease it would be angiotensin, which is basically it's an enzyme that appears to be in excess amounts. Actually, it has the ability to be able to decrease clotho protein. But then there are things that increase it pretty significantly. Vitamin D seems to increase it pretty significantly. Insulin, meaning that could be one downside to long-term protein restriction or a very low carbohydrate diet, would be you might downregulate this clotho protein, which is why I think most of the good anti-aging protocols these days are like press-pulse cycling between periods of anabolism and periods of catabolism. Exercise is one of the top ways to increase it, specifically via resistance training. It seems that muscle injury and the formation of new muscle cells, as the muscle cells are made, it like increases secretion of clotho protein while the muscles are being repaired. And then a few other things that were interesting. One was cordyceps, Another one was gentian root extract. And then finally, activated charcoal can actually bind to a specific toxin that you can get from some dietary factors called indoxosulfate, which you'd find in a lot of ultra-processed and heavily processed foods. And so if you take activated charcoal, that also appears to have an impact on your ability to be able to produce clotho. So a lot of these things, you know, being cognizant of cycling your insulin levels, making sure your vitamin D status is good, exercising, binding toxins with activated charcoal, and maybe working in some supplements like cordyceps or gentian root might actually be able to increase clotho naturally.
Yeah, but with the vitamin D, which I totally agree with you on that one. The problem is when you take vitamin D, like there is a, have you heard of the vitamin D transport protein?
You're not talking about calcitriol, are you?
I'm not sure if that's the medical term or for it or the biological term, but it's a vitamin D transport system, protein, sorry. That is actually responsible for channeling, your vitamin D to certain cells. Yeah, and also to run your fatty acids to where it needs to be. But most importantly, what it also does is it activates your immune system. Okay, so when your bone marrow releases macrophagia, killer cells, and there's another cell, I forgot the name of it, it's all activated by the vitamin D transport system. The thing is, if you have too many toxins in your body, like viruses, cancer, pathogens, they produce an enzyme called Nangalese. Have you heard of that? Nangalese. It's an enzyme that basically chops off the sugars on that the vitamin D transport protein. Okay, so you have to reduce your Nangalese enzymes in your body, okay, in order for the vitamin D to actually have a full effect.
Okay.
So that's very, very important to know that you can enhance it if you reduce Nangalese.
And is there a method to decrease that enzyme?
Yeah, but you basically chop off, like, because there's three sugars is on the protein, and all three sugars are responsible. There's a Japanese guy called Dr. Yamamoto, mm-hmm. who found that out in, I don't know, mid-90s or something like that, that when you take, when you chop two of those sugars away, okay, then the Nangalese has no effect. So you have to artificially chop these sugars away, which is basically the same thing that the, again, is with the sulfate. You have to induce that sulfate. They use it in Japan. They use other people's blood to do that, but you can also induce that with a specific sulfate to chop these sugars away, then it doesn't allow you to produce killer cells for a little bit. But what it does allow you is that the Nangalese can not activate it, okay? And you produce more macrophagia.
Interesting.
So, and then if you produce more macrophagia, you enhance your immune system. Your immune system has then a way to basically, A, number one, it starts killing cancer cells, viruses, etc. Yeah. And then once your immune system is stable, you stop taking this kind of the stuff to basically activate the other two cells, the killer cells, and then you can also absorb more vitamin D in this whole process.
So Nangalese would actually suppress the immune system by suppressing some of your immune cells, like macrophages, but Nangalese or high Nangalese
so
levels.
Macrophages are not active. So if you have Nangalese in your blood, mm-hmm. macrophages are. Or this, your bone marrow still sends out the cells into the blood. Okay, they send the white blood cells out. So if you do your normal blood tests, you still have high blood cell counts, white blood cell counts. Everything looks fine on paper. But the problem is that these cells are dormant. They're not activated if you have Nangalese in it, because they need those sugar proteins that the Nangalese eats.
Right. So you would actually want to decrease the levels of the Nangalese enzyme in order to naturally increase vitamin D levels and at the same time increase or put yourself into a situation where you could have higher levels of clotho protein. But the question would be, how would you actually decrease production of Nangalese enzymes?
Well, then there's a a process called GCNFA or something like that, glyco-something-something. It's a specific process developed in Japan. You take donor blood, inject it. It's really, really questionable. Yeah, at least modern science takes it that way. Or you can, you know, buy a product for it. It's also Dr. Ruggiero, that's how I know about that, has a product out that does exactly that thing. It only targets that specific vitamin D transport protein to make sure that Nangalese dies off.
Are we talking about that same probiotic that you were mentioning earlier?
No, it's a different one. This is the probiotic that's only there for clotho production. And then there's another thing. It's called Immuno, which also has a sulfate in it, but it's structured a little bit differently, and that only attacks the vitamin D transport protein.
Okay, got it. And if you have information on that particular product, go ahead and send it over to me, and I'll include it in the show notes. But yeah, that GCMAF, that's macrophage activating factor. That would be the one that Nagalese would break down. And, you know,
it will stop Nagalese to, I have to say that when you take that stuff, right, the GCMFA, when you take that, the Nagalese just runs around in your cell and doesn't know what to do, because the GCMFA breaks down two of the three sugars. And if two of the sugars are missing, Nagalese doesn't know what to do. It just like flies around and doesn't know what to do. It doesn't have a job at that moment, you know?
Yeah. Do you know what the two biggest sources of Nagalese are in many, many people's environments?
Cancer, viruses, pathogens, everything.
The high Nagalese would be present in those conditions, but the two things that would actually directly elevate Nagalese levels even if you don't have cancer or anything like that is high alcohol consumption and vaccines. So if you're living a traditional Western lifestyle, getting vaccinated and also drinking a lot of alcohol, your Nagalese levels are naturally elevated, which would be, of course, you know, directly inhibitive of the longevity and anti-aging support that the clotho protein would bestow. So it's interesting to think about that there are things that just about everybody is doing, you know, drinking alcohol and getting vaccinated, that would actually potentially affect that. And I don't know if we need to open the vaccine can of worms, but it is interesting that it will massively increase your Nagalese levels. So,
well, it makes sense that some people are like weird about vaccines if that's the case. I did not know that. It's new information to me, but then, you know, interesting thing. I definitely have to look into that.
Now, speaking of the speaking of the gut biome, I believe there is one other thing that you emailed me about related to the gut biome DNA. And I think it actually had to do, in this case, kind of a little bit of a different direction. I believe it had to do with 5G to a certain extent, and the effect of 5G on the biome or something like that. Am I correct in remembering that?
There is a lot of people that are afraid of, RF and microwaves and all this stuff out there, right? Including 5G, LTE, Wi-Fi, the negative effects of that. And there's a lot of, let's say, AKA studies that have been done where people are like proving it has a negative effect. Other people say it doesn't have a negative effect. What actually turns out, which I thought was kind of interesting, when I talked to a friend of mine that is really involved in, this 5G stuff, is that they found out in their studies that the micro, the RF or EMF or whatever you want to call it, doesn't actually attack the human DNA. It actually attacks the gut microbiome and changes the DNA of the gut microbiome and even the microbiome of the brain. So everything else that's not human that's affected, because they don't really, as far as I understand it, they don't really have a good shield to protect themselves from it. And from that perspective on, once the gut microbiome changes in their DNA, that has an effect on the whole body. And that's where supposedly the negative effects of radio waves come from. It doesn't actually has an effect on the human body directly, no. It is actually more the gut microbiome and the brain gut biome, or whatever you call it, has an effect on that, and that modulates the DNA differently.
Well, if you're like me, you live a busy life, you don't really have time for many days off. That's why I talk so much about your mitochondria, because they generate about 90% of the energy your body uses, and keeping your mitochondria strong is It's one of the best ways to keep fatigue at bay. But these little mitochondria, darn things, are expensive to run. They use a huge amount of raw materials, especially when it comes to minerals. The problem is most people, including you and me, probably don't get enough minerals. And without minerals, your mitochondria don't have the cofactors they need to make energy. More than 97% of Americans don't get enough potassium. About 80% are deficient in magnesium. 40% are deficient in calcium. And those are three of the big ones. There's close to a dozen other trace minerals that are important for mitochondrial function, and most of us don't get enough of them, and you definitely can't get them from, say, table salt. It turns out that trying to take all the minerals you need by taking single mineral supplements isn't only hard because you need a ton of pills, but it's not the most effective way to get your minerals. That's why I take liquid, humic, and fulvic complexes. These are full spectrum mineral supplements, which means you get all the essential minerals your body needs in one go without a daily handful of massive amounts of pills or very large capsules or anything else that's hard to swallow. I use Beam mineral supplements because they're almost 100% bioavailable. They come in a liquid form that's easy to drink. It's just two bottles. I keep them in my pantry, throw back a shot a few times a day. They're a great way to refill your mineral stores, especially for those of you out here who are haunting your sauna on a frequent basis, or sweating, or doing hot yoga, or anything else. Keep your mitochondria running strong. So if you want to up your mineral game, give Beam Minerals a try. Go to Beam Minerals, B-E-A-M, minerals.com, and use code BEN at checkout for 20% off your first order. Well, if you're tired of spending hours on cardio with minimal results, then listen up, because I got a game-changing fitness breakthrough for you. The Carol Bike, science-backed, time-saving solution trusted by experts for optimizing health and longevity. They use this special form of a workout called a rehit, which allows you to achieve superior health and fitness benefits compared to regular cardio in 90% less time. That's amazing. That's a lot of time, 90%. Studies show that by doing Carol's 5-minute workout just three times a week, you can improve your fitness by 12%, reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes by 62%, and even wind back your internal body clock by 10 years. The science is clear. Carol Bike is your ticket to a healthier and more vibrant life. You got to try it to believe it and to see what I'm saying. I mean, it's not like a walk in the park. When you're pushing hard in those intervals, you're pushing, but then it's just like over and it's done and it walks you through it. It's very motivating. It's 5 feet away from me right now. It's right here in my office, my cool little exercise toy in my office. So you get $250 off your Carol Bike. You don't have to wait any longer. You can join over 25,000 riders and visit carolbike.com today. Carolbike.com.
Yeah, was that the study that came out last year? I think it was on mobile phones, and I saw it somewhere, but it was basically talking about mobile phone use and the potential effect on human bacteria that were exposed to non-native EMF fields. I think they looked at like non-ionizing and ionizing radiation, and they found that specific strains of E. coli became dominant and overgrown in direct response to exposure to mobile devices or Wi-Fi. And I don't know if this was in vitro or in vivo, but there was a little bit of a clue there. And, you know, again, this would be interesting because Dr. Mercola, in his new book, EMF, makes a case for certain supplements to help reduce the effects of this radiation on human cells, particularly the intake of NAD, to help to repair some of the cell damage, the DNA damage that occurs, and then intake of magnesium to combat some of the calcium influx that occurs into the cell in response to this radiation. And then the final one, if I recall, I think it was ketones to increase the NRF2 pathways, which seem to be downregulated. You know, these inflammation-reducing pathways or inflammation-modulating pathways, those can get downregulated in response to non-native EMF, and therefore nutritional ketosis or the use of ketone esters could help to upregulate those pathways. But from what you're saying, you could make a case that, especially as it relates to 5G, the consumption of some type of probiotic or higher intake of fermented foods may also offer some kind of a protective effect in that case.
Well, what is known is that that definitely the Immortalis probiotic strains can withstand the 5G.
Okay. And you keep coming back to that, and I should clarify, you're not financially associated with that company at all?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
All right.
You know, I know the owner, that's it.
I have
no financial affiliation with it. I don't make a buck.
Okay. So based on this, there was something you emailed me about. You know, I've talked before about some of these products that I haven't seen a lot of research behind just anecdotal evidence that may provide some protection against 5G or non-native EMF. Like I've talked about the Blue Shield device before. I've talked about the SomaVedic device. Some people use these so-called harmonizing devices. And again, admittedly, I'm not convinced there's a good deal of human clinical research on the effects of these things, although a lot of people with electrohypersensitivity will swear by how they feel afterwards. And I've had clients do pre- and post-inflammatory tests and seen a distinct drop in their CRP levels, even without changing anything else. And I use these devices in my home and feel that I sleep better. And I just feel better during a day of work when I have these plugged into my office. But you had a device that you emailed me about that I hadn't heard of before that I think was related to this discussion on the biome.
I don't think you could have heard about it. I think it was released in September or something like that.
Okay. So tell me about this one.
Well, this goes all the way down to quantum physics. Okay. I know a little bit about quantum physics, but don't even like test me on this. Yeah. The only thing that I know from this device, again, I know the scientist, I know the owner of the company, no financial affiliation, just putting this out there straight. This actually comes from from a Russian research lab, okay? Some really very, very weird guys, let me put it this way, someone I can't have a conversation with because they're way above my head, yeah? So what this little device does, it changes the frequency field around you in an 8 meter diameter, yeah, or 8 meter diameter around you. It basically creates a harmonic bubble. So it harmonizes all the frequencies that come into that bubble. Okay, so it's not like you're blocked off like in a Faraday cage. It's not like that. But what it does is the negative effects on the human body are cycled out. Because it's the same thing, you know, frequencies are waves. If you counterwave, if you send counterwaves to it, you basically block out the signal, right? You've probably seen this with radio jammers, yeah? So if you find the right frequency, send the same frequency back, it cancels it out. So there's no effect on it. And that's basically what that device does.
That's exactly how the folks at Blue Shield describe how their device works. So I'm wondering if it's the same technology as what Blue Shield is using.
I don't know. I really don't know because I've never heard of Blue Shield. The only thing I know is that that device, the studies that have been done on it, in very, very small groups are literally insane. Like, you know, heart rate variability dropped like after 2 minutes of using it.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to their website and looked at some of the research. I mean, admittedly, pretty small population studies. And, it's still unclear to me, not being a quantum physicist, exactly the mechanism of action to how these are providing protection. But again, like I look at a lot of things based on, even if the effects can't be explained, what's happening on a biological systems level. And I went to their website and I did look over some of their heart rate variability data, and it actually is pretty, pretty significant, the increase in HRV in response to non-ionizing radiation in the presence of one of these. And, you know, I haven't personally used one and haven't ordered one. I kind of want to talk with you a little bit about it before I would try it out myself. But, you know, I know some of this stuff gets a lot of, you know, everything from HRV analysis to, I think they did dark field analysis of the blood. I know a lot of folks in science will raise an eyebrow at that, but it's definitely doing something. That's kind of like my take on a lot of these so-called harmonizing devices or protective bubble or frequency devices. It's difficult to explain, but they seem to be doing something.
Well, with the 5G shield, the one thing that sold me on this whole thing, okay, was having it in a car and getting 30% more range on a car. Don't ask me how that worked.
But wait, 30% more what?
Range in a freaking gasoline car. Don't know how, don't know why, but if it makes my car run faster, then I'm assuming I can run faster.
Now these things are USB. They come on a USB stick, so you're just putting it in the USB port of your car?
No, you just carry it with you because it has the USB thing that is on there. Okay, the reason why it has USB is if you plug it into electricity, it increases the range of the whole thing. So it increases the range, but it has an idle energy that's enough to basically create an 8 diameter bubble around you, and affects you know, most organisms, you know, that, I mean, plant studies have been done where plants just grow faster. And that for me, like if a plant grows faster, you know, and if my car goes longer, then, you know, I'm just like, it's not going to harm me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, make an introduction to me to the folks who run that, if you have any contacts, because I would love to perhaps interview them in a little bit more detail about it and get some more details myself or test one out and see what I notice. But I find it interesting. There are other things that you emailed me about too as well. I know we're kind of jumping around, but I definitely wanted to ask you about the very first thing that you reached out to me asking me about or informing me that you had some really good information about. And that's this idea of V-cells. So a year and a half ago, I was in New York City and I visited the offices of Dr. Holland Chen. He withdrew about a pint of my blood. Yeah. And then he,
How much is that in liters? That's quite a bit, right?
What is that? Like, no, I think it's like, pint liter conversion.
300, 400 liters?
I don't know what it comes out to. I guess it, 1 liter is what? 2 pints. So,
Half a liter. That's
yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. So half a liter. Yeah. Half a liter. And then he stressed it overnight in a very cold medium to increase production of these so-called very small embryonic like stem cells. Gave me a bunch of NAD and CoQ10 that night, and then the next morning re-injected the isolated V cells along with exosomes to increase their signaling effect. And I felt amazing for like 3 months afterwards. And there was definitely something going on with this use of these so-called V cells. But then you emailed me and told me that you had discovered some other things about these so-called V cells, which are, you know, truly pluripotent. Like they can turn into any stem cell needed by the body.
They're actually totipotent. They're not even pluripotent. The ones that I'm talking about, they're totipotent.
Okay. Okay. And explain to the listeners the difference between the totipotency and the pluripotency.
Well, you have totipotency, which basically is a cell that can be any cell. Then you have pluripotency, which is like the MSC stem cells, EPS stem cells, that can be a big variety of different cells. Then you have multipotency cells, which, you know, where the variety shrinks down, they can be like 4 or 5 cells. And then you have, you know, singular potent. So it's a stem cell that can only be one particular cell. So totipotent is basically the holy grail of stem cells.
Okay. Got it. So these things are totipotent. And what is it that you found out about on your end regarding these very small embryonic like stem cells?
So there is a friend of mine, you know, used to work for the government and has done research in the mid 90s on this stuff. And what we found out, and with the VS, with the very small embryonic stem cells that I send you over, I'm not 100% certain those are the same cells we're talking about because it's like an overlaying word for it. Yeah. They found that in the blood, there are very, very small stem cells that are non-activated. They are basically just floating around in the body, and the body just does not know what to do with them. The body doesn't attack them, and the body doesn't use them. Okay, they're just dormant, right? And they're constantly being produced. So when you stress these cells, what actually happens is I always use the Skittle analogy. Let's assume those cells have like a little Skittle layer around it. Okay, what you do when you stress them, you break that Skittle layer open and allow the cells to be detected by your body. Okay, and then your body just decides where these cells goes and starts replacing them. Okay, so that's the really, really, really interesting part about it. And they can be literally any cell you want it to be. It's not like you tell the cell, hey, I want you to be a heart cell. That's not what you cannot tell that the cell, the body decides what it does first. Yeah, unless you do a specific procedure where you induce a frequency into the cells, so they have a vibrational frequency, yeah, which doesn't matter which frequency it is, and then you point a specific device, which is also a frequency device, to the organ where you want the cells to go to. So it's like an internal little magnet.
Okay, so I'm going to back up just a second. So these VSCs, they are produced by the body normally. And the idea is that even though they're constantly produced, like billions and billions of these things every single day, they're not used as effectively as they could be because the outer layer of those cells needs to be broken to allow them to become truly pluripotent and to do things like, you know, help to repair DNA or tissue, etc. And what you're saying is that there are devices that can be used. Rather than getting your own blood drawn out and re-injected, you can use a device to actually increase the bioavailability or the activity of these VSCs using a device.
There's a device that's being planned to do that. Right now, you still have to take blood out, yeah, and then put it in the device, activate it, and then re-inject. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes. It's like really not that big of a deal. It depends on your specific cells. Some cells need to stay, or some people's blood needs to stay in the device 5 minutes and 30 seconds, others 6 minutes and 20 seconds. That has to be fine-tuned, you know, because everybody is different.
Got it. What is the device and how is it actually working?
It's a high-frequency pulse laser. So basically, that's what it is. And depending on how long you leave it in there, you either destroy the cell or you don't open it up. So it's a fine-tuning mechanism for every person. So it's very, very difficult to just say, look, I'm going to put your blood in there and off we go, because we would have to test the blood over and over again until we find the, let's say, the correct protocol, the correct external protocol to it, to open up the cells to then re-inject.
Sounds somewhat similar to like UV radiation blood protocols or photon-based blood protocols, where they'll use lasers or ultraviolet irradiation in some medical clinics. Like I know Dr. Matt Cook, who I've interviewed on the podcast before, he does this at his clinic. I believe Avi Herskowitz, who I've also interviewed, a San Francisco practitioner, does this in his clinic. But this sounds slightly different in that they're using some kind of different laser frequency to actually activate these cells using photonic energy.
Yes, correct. So that's what it is. It's kind of like think about when someone screams into a glass. If you hit the right frequency, it explodes.
What's the name of the device or the protocol? Do you know?
No, I mean, it's like not even commercially available.
Well, I mean, is there a website that describes the protocol or anything like that?
No.
Really? No, how did you find out about
this? This is just a friend of mine works there.
Works where?
For those people that are doing it.
Huh.
They're researching it. Yeah. Friend of mine basically was involved in the development of the laser and then the medical application, and is now overseeing the laser development and the medical application for that.
Is this a specific clinic or hospital?
I wouldn't say it's not a, but it's a research lab. Let me put it this way. I don't want to go into too much detail about it, if that's okay with you.
Okay. Yeah, no, I understand. It's a little bit murky to me, but this sounds like one of those fields to keep our eyes on, but I couldn't find any information about it. Yeah.
Keep your eyes open. I'm sure it's going to see the day of light. I mean, there's definitely interest to make it see the day of light. The problem is it's just not commercially viable right now, because the fine tuning is just so darn expensive.
Hmm. You say day of light. Yeah. We say light of day in the U.S.
Yeah, light of day.
Have you ever seen that? The guy on YouTube, I don't know if this would be offensive to you, but he's a German guy named Flulaborg, and he tears into popular American euphemisms like party pooper. Or what would be another one that he does? I'm blanking. But anyways, he literally interprets American euphemisms, or like the early bird gets the worm. You should look him up on YouTube. He's hilarious. His name is Flulaborg, comedian. Okay, so this V-cell thing sounds like just something to keep an eye on. It does make me wonder too.
The one cool part about it that I want to tell you is like you take a 30 milliliters. I don't know what that is in American.
Mm-hmm.
You take 30 milliliters and you get about 2.5 billion stem cells.
Wow. 2.5 billion, you said?
2.5 billion. So you have 100 trillion cells in your body with a rough approximation. So, you know, there is a lot. And the fun part about these cells is, you know, when you, I think I've heard you talk about MSCs before. Mm-hmm. You were doing MSCs.
Yeah.
You can only, like those cells only multiply like 200 times.
Right. Yeah. Well, even if you enzymatically grow them, which isn't even legal right now, to my knowledge, in the U.S., you have to go overseas to get a culturally explanted like MSC concentration from your own fat, for example. But even then, it's nowhere near 2.5 billion.
No, it's nothing, because those cells are so darn small, right? They're just like, I don't know how many microns. They're like really, really darn small. And you don't actually multiply them. So it's not like you're growing them in a culture. right? Like with the MSCs, you grow them in a culture. You would grow them in a culture if it were legal. You grow them in a culture and to make them, let's say, to get more out of them. But then they actually lose potency as well. So by the time you inject them, they don't really have the same potency as by the time you took them out of your body. Does that make sense?
Yeah, which is why co-administration with exosomes is such a good idea if you're getting stem cells. It increases the cell signaling effect of the stem cells because by themselves, they're less potent unless they're accompanied by a cell signaling molecule like exosomes, which is why a lot of good practitioners will, you know, co-administer something like MSCs and exosomes. But this protocol is really interesting. I'm going to see if I can do some research and find a little bit more out about it. And by the way, one quick thing that just came to my mind before we go on. I told you guys who are listening in that the show notes were going to be at bengreenfieldfitness.com/mark. But I did just realize I think that links to an EMS machine that I've promoted in the past called the Mark Pro. So I'm going to change the link for you guys. This is going to be bengreenfieldfitness.com/new biohacks. bengreenfieldfitness.com/new biohacks. So don't go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/mark. Go to bengreenfieldfitness.com/new biohacks. And like Mark, my guest, I don't have a financial affiliation with any of these companies. I just think this is an interesting discussion. So it's not going to be a bunch of affiliate links and stuff like that. This is just links to some of the research studies and things that we're talking about. It does make me think, though, about this, you know, new science of photobiomodulation and a lot of the research you can find by Dr. Michael Hamblin on PubMed. The use of these infrared light panels like the Juve or, you know, red light saunas or, you know, using sunlight as a health strategy. I would suspect that there's some amount of photonic energy derived from those strategies that may actually have some kind of a similar assistive effect on stem cell mobilization or proliferation. And I'm actually reading a really interesting book. You'd probably like this one, Mark. It's called The Human Photosynthesis. And it delves into the human's ability to essentially engage in photosynthesis very similar to a plant. Rather than using a chlorophyll molecule, we use the melanin molecule. And when the melanin molecule is split with photon-based energy from, say, sunlight, you actually get this very interesting upregulation of mitochondrial activity, release of ATP, etc. So, you know, full circle, even if someone can't afford this, you know, like laser photon treatment of their withdrawn blood, it still makes a case, in my opinion, especially with what I'm reading in this book, Human Photosynthesis, to really use sunlight and other forms of photobiomodulation as a life-extending strategy and as an overall health strategy. I think really it's as important as food and a movement protocol is exposure to light.
Well, if you want to mobilize small VS stem cells, right? Let me just find it. I'm going to tell you in one second. There's actually a fairly simple way to mobilize them, but I want to give it to you because most of us already do it. So increased exercise, caloric restriction, and that's it. Then you actually increase the mobilization of very small stem cells as well. So they have found that if you reduce your caloric intake, the body activates these very small stem cells. And if you do regular exercise, it activates them. If you consume, if you have too much insulin in your body, it actually stops the activation of those small stem cells.
Yeah, there's a lot more you can do than that for stem cell mobilization. I literally have over 20 compounds in my new book, Boundless, including things like colostrum, coffee berry fruit extract, chlorella. Like, there's a lot of stuff I found in writing that chapter. Shocked me how many natural compounds increase stem cell mobilization. So I'm not gonna tell people all of them. You gotta get the book. Okay, so another thing I talk about actually in that section of Boundless is NAD. And I think most of my listeners who have been listeners for any period of time are probably familiar with NAD as, you know, along with sirtuins, one of the best ways to support overall biological activity and, you know, more specifically, those DNA repair mechanisms that we were talking about. And you also emailed me some information about a new way to boost NAD levels that I hadn't heard of before. Can you go into this one?
Yeah, really quick. So right now, the way we, you know, try to increase NAD is with precursors, you know, NMN and what's the other thing?
Nicotinamide riboside, NR.
Correct. Yeah. So these are the two precursors. There is a there's a doctor out of England who's also in the business of developing medications, yeah, who has looked at NAD production. And the way she approaches this, I think, is brilliant, is she doesn't actually look at injecting precursors to help you produce your NAD. What she actually does is she changes the environment, yeah, in your cells so that they can naturally produce NAD by itself. So you don't have to run the precursors. So you basically change the environment of it. And clinical studies have shown that you actually have, I think it's like after a few days, you have an NAD increase of 242%, yeah, in your body over precursors. So if you compare precursors and her stuff, you increase by 242%.
Okay.
NAD.
Got it. So
you're not swallowing precursors.
Yeah, one clarification.
Basically changing the environment.
And a couple of questions about this. First of all, a lot of people don't realize your cells use NAD all the time in a form called NAD+. And that gets converted into a waste product. It's nicotinamide. And then that gets recycled back into NAD by specific enzymes, including one that's upregulated with exercise and fasting. And so that recycling process works throughout the body. But as you age, that recycling of nicotinamide back into NAD becomes downregulated. And when you take NR or NMN or get an NAD IV, you're kind of covering that up with a Band-Aid, but you're not necessarily restoring the activity of that salvage pathway. However, I have never really heard of a way to upregulate that salvage pathway aside from some of those things like exercise and fasting that I talked about. So I'm curious what actual ingredients are being used in this product. I think it's called Nuchito. Is the one you talked about?
Yeah, Nuchito. Like, you're asking me about all the stuff that I just send you. Hold on. Again, no affiliation with it, nothing. I'll put you in contact with her if you want to, so you can talk to her about it. I'm looking at it right now. It's, you know, niacin is in there, vitamin C, zinc, and then there's a special botanical blend in there that basically supposedly creates the effects of for your body to produce more NAD.
Is it one of those proprietary blend kind of things?
No, it's not at all. I can tell you, silicon dioxide rutin from Sephora, you know, Jackson flower, black pepper fruit extract, alpha lipic acid, niacin, blah blah blah. You know, I'll send it over to you. You can put it in the show notes. Again, no affiliation with it. I just like. I'm personally, since from my personal background, I like to look at it as a system approach. It's a better approach to increase, in my opinion, increase NAD over just doing precursors, because you're changing the system to do its own job rather than putting a molecule into the system to so that your body can use it. I'm not a fan of that. You know, I'm not a fan of peptides or anything like that, because I think it's just molecule-based science. I think it's a little outdated as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I was able to find their blend as well. You're right. Green tea extract, parsley leaf powder, black pepper fruit extract, zinc, alpha lipoic acid, and nicotinamide. Okay. So they're basically just trying to upregulate the salvage pathway with some of these compounds. And what I'd be curious about is whether co-administration of this with NAD or NMN or NR, along with tracking of the methylation clock, like using the Horvath clock, or even doing like a spectrocell telomere analysis, which are, in my opinion, two of the best ways that currently exist to quantify aging. Even though, you know, both have their issues, I think the methylation clock by Horvath and the spectrocell telomere analysis are probably two of the best ways to track aging. I'd be curious to see if there's an impact versus the use of just like NMN or NR or NAD alone. I don't know if they ever done any studies on this thing.
Contact them, you know, I'll put you in contact with them. Find out for your listeners. I'm sorry that I'm not, you know, too informed about this. But yeah.
Oh no, I mean, that's why I wanted to talk to you, was I just wanted to kind of at least open up some of these conversations and, you know, turn people on to some of these new things that they might be unaware of. Okay. So that's interesting. That one's called Nuchito, Nuchido, a way to increase your NAD salvage pathways. It's really interesting. And by the way, as you're listening in, folks, if, you know, I know many of you are kind of keen on this stuff and biohackers and on the cutting edge yourself. And if you have more information of your own to add, or things that you found out about these products or technologies that we're talking about, you can add them in the show notes or at bengreenfieldfitness.com/newbiohacks. Okay, so a couple of other things you had emailed me about. One, I guess, is also related to anti-aging and stem cells, which you've already discussed. And that was something called Stemkeen. What was that one?
Stemkeen is also a natural blend, which upregulates the production of endothelial stem cells, which are the stem cells that basically are responsible for your blood vessels and the EGFs, so new productions of blood vessels around the body, which I thought was really interesting because they also have an increase of, I think, a couple hundred percent in clinical studies.
You're probably talking about the endothelial progenitor cells?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So they produce more. So your bone marrow actually excretes more of those stem cells. And then you have more free-floating stem cells in your blood. Okay. Then again, because of the little bit of knowledge that I have with my other scientists, people, is how if they're actually going to be used by the body, that hasn't really been found out yet. It just upregulates them. You have more in your blood if your body actually uses them. It's a different question that I can tell you. I would assume it does. Yeah.
In the past,
everyone has to be careful.
Yeah. In the past, I have come across a couple of ways to do that, and that would be the use of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy. That can actually increase production of these progenitor cells for the endothelium from the bone marrow. You know, like regular use of pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, especially if you have a device and you can apply it over a long bone with plenty of bone marrow, like the femur, for example. And then the other one is the beta glucans from mushrooms. You know, like chaga and reishi and turkey tail and some of these mushrooms. Those also increase these same factors. So I'm wondering if they're using some similar type of products in this Stemkeen stuff.
Look it up. It's patented. Let's see.
So, okay. All right. Here's the label on it. It's vitamin. So 2,000 international units of vitamin D3, and it looks like they're blending that with again another probiotic blend. We keep coming back to probiotics. A Lactobacillus fermentum, and then beta glucan. So they've got beta glucans in there, same as you'd find in the mushrooms, and ellagic acid from pomegranate. That's really interesting. I actually, the probiotic that I use by seed contains pomegranate seed extract. And the reason is because that is consumed by the bacteria in the gut and produces urolithin A, which in and of itself is actually a very good longevity enhancing compound. And there's some really good studies on urolithin A. And I've seen so much good data on pomegranate. I know all the carnivore diet people out there who aren't a big fan of, beta glucans from mushrooms and hormetic defense mechanisms and pomegranates are going to have to figure out a different way to do this. But it looks like an interesting blend. So this one's called Stemkeen. Okay.
Stemkeen. And the cool thing is it's a stem cell researcher out of Panama, the International Institute of Stem Cells. He developed it.
Okay.
They're really big into stem cells. They're in their clinic, like the MSCs and all the stuff that that you have done as well. You know?
Do you know who that is?
No, I don't know him personally, unfortunately.
Okay. There's one doc down there. I think it's Neil Rorden. He was on the Joe Rogan show, and he's a big stem cell guy in Panama. Would he have been the guy?
That's exactly him. Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. All right, cool.
I've been following that clinic for a very, very long time.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Interesting. Yeah. All sorts of cool things to look into. There are a couple more that you talked to me about. One was hydrogen. You wrote to me about hydrogen, and obviously I've talked about hydrogen water and also deuterium depleted water as being two different ways to hack your water, so to speak, to either increase the anti-inflammatory potential, because hydrogen rich water is a selective antioxidant, or in the case of deuterium, to increase the stability of the electron transport chain. You emailed me about it, and I think folks who listen in are already pretty aware of the benefits of hydrogen and DDW based on the podcast I've done in the past. But
what kind of hydrogen?
What kind of hydrogen?
Yeah, there's like you have how do you create your hydrogen and how do you consume it? Let me put it this way.
I've been using dissolved hydrogen tablets from Water and Wellness, and then they're combined with magnesium, and then the other one is a hydrogen generating machine. You know, with my own internal testing, produces appreciable amounts of, you know, high ppm of hydrogen rich water. And so I've got one of those in my basement, and then when I travel, I use these hydrogen water tablets.
I'm not a fan of the tablets with the magnesium in there because it's just like, it's a weird concept. I don't know. I'm not a fan of that. Talked to a friend of mine about that. And he basically said, look, stay away from the magnesium tablets because you're consuming other things with it. And too much magnesium is also not the best situation. So it's easier to just, create it yourself with electrolysis, you know, that's his take on it.
You mean using a hydrogen water generator?
Well, if that's what they're called, yeah. I mean, it's electrolysis produces hydrogen, you know? I mean, if that's what the machines are called, then that's what it is, yeah.
Okay. And so how are you consuming hydrogen?
Electrolysis.
Okay. Is there a specific machine that you're using?
Yeah. But again, I don't want to – I'll send that machine to you. I don't want to name it because I don't want anyone thinking like I'm name-dropping stuff. But yeah, it's done with lye, yeah, with the soap. So basically, as a catalyst, it uses very, very minimal amounts of energy compared to all our, other electrolysis out there. It's a very interesting device because you can actually adjust the output of hydrogen. So, you know, I don't know if your device does that, but most devices, they just produce hydrogen and then you're done. But you actually have to make sure that you don't get too much hydrogen, if you're breathing it at least. That you don't get too much hydrogen into your body, because as soon as you reach, you know, over 4%, like, you're a walking bomb, you know?
Yeah, I think that the water machine I'm using does indeed operate based on electrolysis. But, you know, also with the magnesium piece, you know, what the magnesium does is it reacts with H2O, and that produces H2, but then the magnesium gets converted into ionic magnesium when that happens. So that's... you know, a pretty bioavailable form of magnesium. And considering that a lot of people are magnesium deficient, I've never really had an issue with that, because essentially you have the buffering effect in the tablet that reduces the hydroxide and then separates it from the magnesium. So you basically have free magnesium ions and free hydrogen ions when you use like magnesium as a carrier for molecular hydrogen. So I've always thought that magnesium-based hydrogen tablets were actually a pretty good idea. Yeah, I don't run into a lot of people who have like excess magnesium levels.
And well, the thing is, if you're using magnesium tablets, right, you're just using magnesium tablets. If you're using it on an electrolysis device, and you're running it like Brown's gas, right, like Randall from Brown, there's actually a different kind of gas that comes with it.
Yeah, but I'm not running it on the electrolysis. I'm just taking the tablet and putting it into water.
Correct, but the thing is, with the hydrogen gas, you're drinking hydrogen water, right?
Right.
Yeah. So if you're running it through an electrolysis system, and then you basically, let's call it, bubble your water, yeah, it actually creates a water plasma that you're drinking, which you don't get from the magnesium tablets.
Yeah, you're right. Like drinking water from a hydrogen generator that uses hydrogen electrolysis is always going to be superior. It's just like when you're on an airplane or whatever, you know, trying to get some of the anti-inflammatory benefits of hydrogen, you're not going to have a water generator with you. So I kind of use the water generator at home, and then I travel with the tablets. And so that seems to work out pretty well. I'm probably getting more hydrogen ppm in my water at home than I am when I'm traveling, but I'm still getting some from those magnesium tablets when I travel.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. You know, I mean, I guess from a convenience standpoint, it's easier, you know.
Yeah.
I just like the idea of having the electrically expanded water, right, which is basically water plasma that you're drinking, which studies have shown that when you consume electrically expanded water, you have a higher hydrogen concentration of up to 10 times in your blood when you drink it compared to when you breathe it. Yeah. But when you breathe it, you have a higher concentration of hydrogen throughout your system, which is not transported through the blood. So you kind of like want to do both. Like, you don't want to just drink or just breathe. You want to run both systems simultaneously. And it's really, really good thing. because we're 62% hydrogen by volume. So it's your largest it's your largest macronutrient that you can consume, hydrogen. Like, there's nothing else that you need to consume. Or you need hydrogen, you need a little bit of oxygen, you need a little bit of carbon, and then 2% is all the rest that you and I have talked about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, I mean, back to the idea of photons, one thing I've been learning in this human photosynthesis book that I'm reading is that the photonic splitting of water, you know, that occurs obviously when you're out in the sunlight or using one of these photobiomodulation units, you know, like a red and near infrared light generator, that actually splits the water molecule in a way that creates free hydrogen. And so, you know, again, if you're getting light exposure, yeah, you're actually going to get appreciable amounts of free hydrogen just from making sure that you're getting out in sunlight in a well hydrated state. So, you know, it's interesting that a lot of this stuff from a purely ancestral standpoint, you know, is free, especially when you consider that, you know, spring water is naturally structured, more electrically charged water, which is more conducive to the splitting effect. So, you know, you drink good, clean, pure water and get good light exposure, get good minerals in your system as well. And, you know, you even if you can't afford, you know, like a hydrogen water generator or, you know, regular use of hydrogen water tablets, you're still going to be getting pretty good effect.
I mean, they're not that expensive, you know? I mean, considering the cost from a cost-benefit analysis standpoint.
No, I think mine retailed at like $8,000 or something like that.
Oh, it's a ripoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It shouldn't cost you more than $2,000.
Interesting.
Honestly, like, yeah, it shouldn't cost you more than $2,000-$2,500.
Well, I no longer promote the company that I got that unit from anyways, again, because I think that they were scamming some people. So it could have been overpriced to start with. Yeah. Okay. So
they use it in Japan and in China quite a bit, you know?
The
thing is, what you need to, you need to look into it. Like, you really need to look in the engineering of those machines. Like, you don't want to run it at you don't want the PSI pressure inside run too high, because you're basically having a bomb in your apartment, right? So there's a lot of hydrogen is really, really freaking dangerous. So I can only encourage your listeners, be darn careful what you buy, because you do not want a little small hydrogen bomb in your apartment.
Yeah, yeah, true. That reminds me of a conversation I had with my kids the other day, because they've been using they're training for their first jiu-jitsu tournament right now, and they've been using the hyperbaric oxygen chamber that we have in the basement downstairs. And I realized I hadn't yet informed them that pressurized oxygen can be highly flammable, and they're really into like little torch devices and things like that right now. And so I warned them not to bring their blow torches and their books into the HBOT chamber.
Yeah, yeah. Why didn't you give? Are your kids using hydrogen as well? Hydrogen water and breathing it?
They drink from the unit downstairs, but primarily because it's right next to all their Legos. So they'll play Legos for like hours during the day, and they'll be drinking hydrogen enriched water while they're playing Legos. So
yeah, yeah. It's important to just as an add-on. It's really important that you drink it and breathe it, because both systems have a different effect on the body.
Yeah, that's interesting. Right. And I know some of these units are now coming with like an inhalation feature as well. So, yeah.
Or you can use it for topical appliances as well, right? You can just, I don't know, put a plastic bag around your arm and then put the little gas in there to make sure it gets your skin. You know, I'm a fan of taking baths in it, personally.
Yeah.
Water
and Wellness, they actually sell the bath bombs too. So I have in my float tank, I have a hydrogen water generator. I forget where I got it, but it basically infuses hydrogen into the water. But then, kind of like these water tablets that you can dissolve in water and drink, they sell bath tablets too. I think Water and Wellness has those. I'll hunt them down and link to them in the show notes. But yeah, you can take a bath. You can put like Epsom salts in water and then take a bath and add hydrogen water tablets to it and get that skin absorption effect.
Yeah, what it does, it's like it's for a lot of people for anti-aging. It actually allows your body, if you do it, if you do the baths, they have done studies where your body actually starts producing more collagen. So you actually get rid of wrinkles.
Yeah, yeah. That's cool. A lot of this stuff flies under the radar, but I think it's pretty cool. So one other thing I wanted to ask you about was you told me, and this is, again, kind of related to quantum physics, so I realize some of this stuff can be difficult to explain, but it's related to water. And this was something that you had found that could be used to, like, increase the ability of like seeds that one might be sprouting in water to increase the mineral density of plants that are grown using this water that's been treated with a specific device. I think it was called like an ARC.
Yeah, it's an ARC crystal. That goes into quantum physics. Actually, it has something to do with unified field theory. So what that device does. Okay, let's back it up. I'm going to see how we start on that one. So you have the vacuum, okay, the vacuum of space, which is which has a specific geometric structure. And I think a lot of people or your listeners know about that. It's a tetrahedral structure. And what the tetrahedral structure does, it basically condenses energy on all angles of that structure into a single point. So no matter where you put pressure on the geometric structure, the pressure is always equalized into the center, where it basically creates singularity based upon what quantum physics believes. Okay, no one knows. This is all theory. So, and this structure, believe it or not, if you look at the structure of the vacuum and compare it with genuinely real structured water, they're similar. So they have the exact same structure. Okay, the structure of the vacuum and the structure of really coherent water, they are exactly the same. Okay, the problem is we don't really get coherent water anywhere, right? Because it's contaminated. There's other frequencies around, whatnot ever. So you never have real coherent structured water. Yeah, it's like you cannot really buy it. It's like a double helix water.
Unless you actually have a structured water generator installed in your home.
Which I highly doubt that actually works.
Okay.
That's my personal.
Why is opinion. That? Why do you doubt that would work?
Because it's a mechanical process that tries to structure it. So you don't use the inherent feature of the water to structure itself.
Okay. Well, yeah, so, from my understanding with structured water generators, they're actually using small crystalline-like minerals that the water passes through, or sometimes they'll use glass beads in a crystalline structure.
Oh, yeah, but that's vortex.
Yeah, they're basically vortex. They're vortex in the water. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different process, though.
Okay.
That creates a different kind of, I don't want to say a different kind of water because I'm sure that the effects are similar. Because they're doing it here. A friend of mine is doing this for farmers, right? So they're using a special, let's call it a filter that has these bubbles in it. It creates vortex water. And then they water their plants with it and they have like an increase of like a factor of 2-3, you know?
Oh, not just the plants. It'll also work on livestock. I know this because my dad is in the structured water industry and he works with large agricultural organizations and then also livestock operations, and they're seeing increases not only in plant growth and mineral density but also the growth of the livestock themselves upon consumption of this water.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, it's the same with hydrogen as well. Sorry, coming back to that, it actually increases the growth of livestock by a factor of 3, like fish grow 3 times faster and all this stuff, you know?
So this ARC crystal, basically, it's using this idea of a quantum vacuum, meaning it would be like mildly oscillating like a crystal does.
Every crystal oscillates, right? Every crystal has a certain frequency. Maybe that's why these crystal healing things work. You could assume that. So, you need always, in order to get information from A to B, you need a conduit, you need a transport system, right? So the vacuum in itself has no, or at least to our current understanding, has no direct way of communicating with the water to tell it to structure itself. So you need a conduit that can pick up the vibration, yeah, these very, very minute vibrations of the vacuum, and basically structure the water with that. And that's the ARC crystal. And that's a specific crystal that has been grown. It's lab grown. I think it's like 35 years of research that went into that. And it lives in a palladium shell on magnets. So it actually floats. Yeah. So it doesn't touch the ground or anything. It actually floats. And this crystal, what it does, if you place it close to any organism that has water in it, you know, plants, humans, or water in itself, transmits the information to basically allow the water to come back to its original structure, right? Because it gets input. Yeah, the crystal vibrates in the same frequency as the vacuum vibrates. Yeah, and the water then picks that up and can change itself, right? And during that process, when it changes itself, which I thought was always very, very interesting, is you had a germination increase with plants by 43,000%.
Wow.
Which is like, it's insane. Okay.
Yeah. Do they actually have this research on their website?
No, I can send you the research papers though. You have wheatgrass nutrition density of something like 23,000%.
Wow. Jeez.
So the nutrient density of the plants, at least the plants that have been tested, not all plants have been tested. There's just not enough money there to do all the tests on all the plants. But maybe someone should. Good point. But the germination is insane. Growth factor is crazy. It grows something like 400-500% quicker. The nutrient density is better. There is, when you treat it with that water, which I find staggering, is you do not need pesticides. So the defense mechanisms of the plants are actually activated. Yeah. So when there are, you know, germs or whatever that would usually kill the plants in the normal environment, you don't need it anymore. Like, and that's and that has something to do with, as far as I believe, is that once the water is 100% coherent, yeah, the organism can actually fully use it. So when you drink a glass of water right now, that water is definitely not coherent. We both know that. And your body wastes a lot of energy of structuring the water himself or itself. You know, the body has to structure the water in the right, let's call it geometric structure, in order to be used. So I firmly believe that's what the body does. But if you actually give it the prime water, yeah, then it doesn't have to structure itself and can save up on energy and actually can work on other processes and apply that energy for other processes.
And to clarify, this crystal, this arc crystal, you would simply purchase one and you would keep like a, I would imagine like a large glass container of water that you were going to drink sitting on top of it or something like that?
Yeah, you can put it on top of it, side of it. You can throw it inside of it. You know, just keep it fairly close.
Right. Or you could even get like a big glass carboy and just have that as a water dispenser and keep this arc crystal next to it if you weren't going to use like a, you know, like a vortex or something like that to structure your water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that. And then you couple that with DDP depleted water and, you know, I don't think you've ever seen bigger plants in your life.
Yeah, a lot of people actually do that with their hydrogen water generators or other forms of waters. They'll buy deuterium depleted water. And again, Water and Wellness is another company that I know sells that. And then they'll add small amounts of the deuterium depleted water to like a glass carboy or a water filter. And so whatever form of water filtration or water structuring that they're using, they're also simultaneously getting deuterium depleted water. And you know, that in my opinion is a very good strategy as far as really, you know, upgrading the water that you're drinking. So do you use this thing, by the way, the arc crystal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And carry it around. You can just carry it as a necklace if you want to, because it has an effect.
Oh, it's that small?
Yeah. It's not big. It's just too expensive to make it bigger, you know, because like artificially growing crystals and then making sure that the structures are correct, because you cannot, it's like 3D printing it. You cannot have an error. If you have one small error inside, the entire thing just like goes bust, you know, because it changes the vibrational frequency of that particular crystal. So it's a really, really complex process.
Hmm. I have a question for you as we get close to wrapping up. What's the primary method where you're discovering a lot of this stuff? Are you going to specific conferences? Are there journals you subscribe to? Or what's the method via which you're kind of finding a lot of this stuff, or it's coming across your plate?
There's a lot of people that would, are asking me if that's something good to invest in. And there's other people that are coming to me, know me through channels, if I may have money for them to invest. So it's all from a money perspective.
Hmm. But you're not investing in any of these companies we just talked about?
No. I have not said, I have not mentioned any company that I'm directly invested in or can even remotely make it, because I don't want that conflict of interest. There's things that I've invested in that I'm not going to talk about here because it just doesn't work.
Okay. Got it. What's a non-negotiable for you? Like what's something that you're doing every single day? Like for me, I'd say if I could pick one thing that's a huge game changer for me right now, it's just my daily sauna and ice protocol. You know, that's in my opinion, something that I just immediately feel and absolutely love the research behind heat and cold. But what's one thing that you're doing that's just non-negotiable for you?
Hydrogen water, breathing hydrogen gas and drinking electrically expanded water. That's it.
Hmm. Interesting.
62% of your body. Yeah, no. I mean, anything else? And it's like, if you look into the science of it, there's so much research on it. It's like it's no, everyone should have it. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's not that hard to find these days. So, I said, it's not that hard to find these days. Hydrogen water, you know, like we were just talking about.
No, you just, like I said, you just want to make sure that you have a device that, you know, doesn't kill you. You want to have a device that where you can basically put in your height and your volume, right, your body volume, so you don't overexpose yourself with too much hydrogen. Yeah, you want to make sure that the filtration systems are correct, and from the electrolysis standpoint, and that's about it. I mean, those are the things that you have to be careful of, and you want to drink and breathe it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well,
I've put you in contact with the guy, Ben, and, you know, he's been doing this hydrogen research since the mid-70s and has been building these devices since the mid-70s. And then you can talk to him. Maybe you want to bring him on the show.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to him. In the past, I've interviewed Tyler LeBaron from the Molecular Hydrogen Foundation and then Robert Slovak from Water and Wellness. And I'll link to those two podcasts in the show notes for people who really want to become super knowledgeable ninjas on all things hydration and water. Or hydrogen water, but yeah, I'd certainly, if you send over any of the research papers we talked about, any additional information, you know, all that stuff, if you send it over in the next couple of days, I think I'm going to actually publish this interview pretty quickly within the next couple of days after you and I are chatting. So if you send me over some stuff over the next couple of days, I'll include that in the show notes, which for those of you listening in, is going to be at bengreenfieldfitness.com/newbiohacks. That's bengreenfieldfitness.com/newbiohacks. Well, Mark, I have managed to spend an hour and a half in a coffee shop without drinking a single cup of burnt, moldy Starbucks coffee. So I hope I'm not getting any dirty looks from the baristas for not being a paying customer. But I'll go buy some water or something like that after we finish up here.
Cool.
Well, cool, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show. This has been a very interesting discussion.
Okay. Thank you so much for inviting me onto it. And if there's something else that comes across my table, I'll shoot you emails.
For sure. All right, folks. Well, I'm Ben Greenfield.
One second.
Oh, go ahead.
One quick one. Because your thing is longevity, living longer. Just breathing hydrogen increases lifespan by 50%.
Send me that research.
I'll send it to you.
Okay. Get it.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Put some science behind that claim. All right, Mark. I'll talk to you later.
Well, thanks for listening to today's show. You can grab all the show notes, the resources, pretty much everything that I mentioned over at bengreenfieldfitness.com, along with plenty of other goodies from me, including the highly helpful Ben Recommends page, which is a list of pretty much everything that I've ever recommended for hormones, sleep, digestion, fat loss, performance, and plenty more. Please also know that all the links, all the promo codes that I mentioned during this and every episode help to make this podcast happen and to generate income that enables me to keep bringing you this content every single week. So when you listen in, be sure to use the links in the show notes, use the promo codes that I generate, because that helps to float this thing and keep it coming to you each and every week.